A4. Number 10A.
You see, at the end of the Christian Science textbook, it is asked that we are true to the Word. And the Word, naturally, are not terms and not words, but really the Word of God. And the Word of God to the present age is Christian Science, or perhaps even the science of being. What Mrs. Eddy presented as Christian Science is science with a Christian connotation. But it's science, and therefore we have to stick, be faithful to that Word of God, which means to us that we should take the discovery as it is, and not so much as we would love it to have it. We could see up to now that what Mrs. Eddy has given was to show that reality consists of principle and its infinite idea. And we have seen that she attributes to that principle and idea is really the all in all, that it is the only reality, that it is that which exists. And so we see here that if we are true to the Word and go on that basis of principle and its infinite idea, that is depicting us the realm of reality. Now, up to now, we have only seen that she has stated that the realm of reality consists of infinite ideas, but we have not yet investigated the nature and relationship of ideas. So we want to investigate the nature of idea and consider the identity of those ideas. And with this, I go on with the seven synonymous terms and introduce now the identity of those ideas that characterize the seven synonymous terms. But here we have a very scientific question to answer first. Namely, if we see that we have to do with infinite ideas, then we know that we cannot learn infinite ideas. That just doesn't work. It's too big. Just as in mathematics, we would not learn infinite numbers, but we would use the scientific method that science of mathematics uses by reducing infinite numbers just to a few fundamental digits, 1 to 10, and then from there build up through relationships so as to have the science of mathematics. We can see that in order to approach a subject in a science, we must first have, so to say, the digits, the 10 digits, or I would say those fundamental facts that are so fundamental that they cannot no more be reduced any further, that we have to learn those elements, just as in mathematics we learn the digits, in chemistry the periodic table, those roundabout 100 chemical elements. In music we would learn the tones, the 7 tones. These constitute the building blocks, so to say, of the subject. And here we have the 7 synonymous terms that we have to investigate. And in order to investigate them, we have to know through which ideas each of the synonymous terms is characterized, which means that we first have to reduce the infinite ideas to just those 7 categories of the 7 synonymous terms. Just as infinite numbers are reduced to 10 digits, we have to reduce infinite ideas to the 7 synonymous terms and the characteristics, which means that we must find a categorization, because that is the great scientific tool in order to be able to handle an infinite subject. This is science and scientific method. Now, as far as I know, and I may not know everything what has happened in religion, but as far as I know, Mrs. Eddy was the only one who undertook this scientific research and has reduced the infinite divine values of being to categories. I don't know anyone else. There may be, I don't know. But though we are quite well informed, we would know any one of them. This is a terrific contribution that Mrs. Eddy made. To think that infinite ideas should not be learned as infinite ideas, because it's surpassing men's capacity to learn anything. And so she chose that scientific method of reducing to 7 categories of terms, which we call the ideas characterizing the 7 synonymous terms. We have seen that category means specifically defined divisions in a system of classification. Now here we have these 7 divisions as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, giving the super symbols for all the ideas. In some kind, we could say that infinitude is reduced to 7 super symbols, so that when we understand those 7 super symbols, that we actually have the tools in our hand to reckon with infinity. Now, we have seen also before that this is one of the marvels of Mrs. Eddy's discovery, that she could find at all the right categories. This is not easy. To find the right categories and to reduce infinitude to the right categories. Not only to have that brilliant idea of reduction, but then afterwards being able to find the right categories. It's just a higher potency of revelation that one just can stand in marvel before it. Because nobody on the whole earth has ever done that, nor has anybody had the idea to do that. Now, no matter if it was revelation or if it was a great spiritual preparation that enabled her to see it, because she was looking out in that direction, that because right from her childhood she was looking out for a science of the divine mind, whatever that was, here we stand at the glory of seeing that infinitude can be reduced to those 7 categories of the capitalized terms. The question now is, how can we study those 7 capitalized terms? And I just give you a very quick answer, because actually the answer is very simple. The only difficulty is that practically nobody does it afterwards. And yet, this is the cornerstone for the whole science of being. Whoever does not want to study the 7 synonymous term and get a very workable knowledge of the 7 synonymous term will always have uncertain ground, will always build on sand. It just is not possible to understand Mrs. Eddy's work, nor will it be possible to understand the Bible without a very good, workable, spiritual sense and scientific sense of the 7 synonymous terms for God. This is so fundamental that we just can't sidestep it. And I think this was for a long time really the stumbling block, that this work is an arduous work, it needs consecration, it needs time, and that sometimes the students did not have the energy and the perseverance and not the love to do it. And so they were constantly building on sandy ground, and therefore one was never really able to build further on solid ground with the students that do not want to investigate the 7 synonymous terms. Perhaps it is nice for you to know how we were working when Mr. Dawley for the first time presented us the task of studying the 7 synonymous terms. We just spent about 7 years studying them. Just 7 years, evening after evening, evening after evening, holidays, weekends, just studying them over, 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 polishing our consciousness until those seven synonymous terms were so spiritually tangible and so differentiated in our consciousness that we can detect them wherever they appear, no matter if they appear as terms or if they appear as symbols, like symbolized in the Bible. The Bible does not speak about mind and spirit and soul and principle, and a little bit only about life and truth and love. But with a spiritual sense of those seven synonymous terms, we can detect mind in the Bible, spirit in the Bible, soul in the Bible, principle in the Bible, where nobody else sees them, because we have a spiritual sense of them, which is completely independent of its symbolization, as it is symbolized, say, in the Bible. So you can see that for us, the study of the seven synonymous term was not just a little bit playing with it. I remember in those years, it was during the war, that I just gave every hour I could spend for the study. I made up my mind that every evening except one in the week would be devoted to the study of the seven synonymous term. And whenever a friend came along and said, well, wouldn't you like to go out with us? You know, we are going to have a nice time tonight. Come with us. I would take out my little calendar, what you call, where you write in what you have on, date book, huh? And I looked it up and said, sorry, I'm already occupied. Huh? I knew there is principle of P, and that was a good meeting with principle. So I felt this is more important than to play cards or to go to a picture or to a theater or to anything except once in a week. So we really put a lot of love into it, not only energy, but love, because we could see at that time that we were just opening up reality, that we felt here is a key. Those seven synonymous terms are a key, not only to the scripture, not only to the textbook, but the key to reality. That if we would understand those seven synonymous terms, we would understand the nature of God. And what more could we understand than the nature of God? How did we study those seven synonymous terms? Well, it is a very easy method to begin with, namely that we would take the first synonymous term, like mind, and then go through the whole textbook from one reference where the synonymous term mind would appear, and would study every reference on mind, always asking now, in which way does Mrs. Eddy characterize that synonymous term? And would just write down, say, one keyword which is characterizing mind in that reference. And so by doing that, through all the 700 and I don't know how many more references in the textbook, we would get quite a big list of ideas which would be characteristic for mind. So that this list would give us a compound sense and later on a compound feeling of what is really meant by the term mind, which is actually only M-I-N-D. It's a symbol composed of a few letters, M-I-N-D. But what does that M-I-N-D mean, that mind means, except we can know it through the characteristics of mind. And so we would take all the seven synonymous terms and do that work from beginning to end. And then when we have done that work, we would have found out that we don't know yet quite clearly what mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love actually are. Because we would then find that many of our findings would be in the list of mind and in the list of spirit and in the list of soul, and could be wondering if actually it is true that each synonymous term has characteristics which only belong to that synonymous term or not. But that's the way one approaches scientifically a subject, that one first gets a rough overall view of the subject and then starts right all over again and begins to test again one's finding, and little by little, after we have gone over perhaps 20 times or 30 times within a few years, one would get a quite a nice, clear-cut answer. And naturally, little by little, one would find out that the method I was telling you is insufficient, that it needs much more rules to be observed than just the one I have told you. And I will afterwards just hint a few of them, and then you begin to see the exactness of Mrs. Eddy's language. The findings of that list you have in two books, more or less, in our compendium for the study of Christian Science in number 4 to 10, and also in Peggy Brooks' book on the fundamentals of Christian Science. Both are presentations of those findings and can be used as a study guide for the synonymous terms. They just want to be a help to the student and in a way also a proof that what we have found is really testable and is, should be convincing. So this is a work that I would like to see everybody doing. It's a beautiful study work. Instead of sitting down and doing the lessons an hour each day, I don't know if you do the lessons an hour each day, but anyway, when I was a young boy, it took me every day at least an hour to go through the lessons and study them. It would be just as fundamental to go through those seven synonymous terms and make a real individual fundamental study of the nature of God. Also, I can mention that Joel Chesson has given a series of talk on those seven synonymous terms, built on the compendiums, and tried, and I guess successfully, to give a sense what these seven synonymous terms really mean, and try to give the spiritual touch of it. So actually I should be in a position to say, all right, you know it, but just let us warm up those seven synonymous terms for an hour or so and see what they imply, so that when we go on with our subject, that we have some kind of tone in our consciousness, what mind and spirit and so on really mean. So I go quickly through the synonymous term mind, yes, thank you, with the list here, just trying to give a sense, and perhaps the best thing is when you have copied that list that you just let the spiritual sense flow into you until you feel why all these various and main characteristics which I have here on the list are all turning around the same big tone called mind. What is mind? Mind, we know, is the creator. The creator of all ideas. Mind, therefore, is that from which everything comes. But what is everything? Mind, as we know, is only creating its own ideas and creates everything in ideas. Mind doesn't create material things and living things. Mind only creates its own ideas and creates all in ideas. And so we feel that man is not the creator, that our human mind is not the creator, that our brain is not the creator, but the only creator of ideas, the only producer of ideas that there is really mind. Mind produces all what we have to know. And what we have to know are always ideas. See, in mind, we always come back to the term idea. Therefore, mind as the creator must be the cause of all. So when we reason from cause to effect in any situation, we only reason rightly when we reason from mind as the cause and never from anything else as the cause of every effect. And so we get the feel, all right, let's start with mind. Mind is the creator, he is the producer, he is the cause, mind is first. She would say, I just bring in other ideas which I have not written down here, because these ideas that I have written down are just a short selection of all. So we can see mind is the first. Mind is first chronologically, must be first eternally. Therefore, if we start anything, no matter if we start with a treatment, no matter if we start with a creative act, start with mind, divine mind, because that alone can give us ideas. So that mind actually is the origin of all, the origin of all ideas. Therefore, when we ask, where is our origin, we know that our origin is not with parents, not somewhere in the past, but our origin is in mind. We are conceived by mind, brought forth by mind, willed by mind, desired by mind, and so we are never an undesired child. There is only that one great origin, the divine mind, producing, causing, and bringing forth only perfect ideas. So that we feel, actually, that mind is our basis, that mind is that on which we stand mentally, that we go out from mind, and that we base everything on the divine mind, and that from that divine mind springs out and produces and comes forth and emanates, mind emanates all ideas. And when we think about that, we can't help feeling that if mind is the cause and producer and the origin from which emanates everything, that this cause must be a power, that it must be a power cause, so that we feel within ourselves the only power there is the divine mind, that there is no power in another creative act, there is no power in any other cause, there is no power in any other origin, there is no power in any other basis. The only power there is in the divine mind.